Welcome back. We're having a discussion of dinosaurs in the Bible. My name is Dwayne Orr. I serve as chief engineer at NASA's Columbia Scientific Balloon Facility, Palestine, Texas. You'll see my the links. You can go download this presentation from LifeWord and also my email address in case you have any questions. But I want to make it the point that it's the science I do understand that points me toward God, not the science I don't understand. So we're going to go over some science that we can understand and comprehend. And when you look at that, you can see the power of God in creation. So our question is, what does the Bible say about dinosaurs? And like last week, I make a bold statement. The solution to all mankind's and your troubles and issues are found in the answer to that question. Like I said, last week, our scientist, Mary, she discovered that she found soft tissue in dinosaur bones. And it just blew her mind how that you could have soft tissue in bones that are plus 65 million years old. I'm always amazed. It seems like they're looking for ways to explain this, and they have a lot of techniques they're trying. They're all failing. One question they never ask is, well, maybe the bones aren't as old as we thought they were. So let's go on. We're going to take a look at what Job's dilemma. Why do bad things happen to good people, or rather to me? Or why do bad things happen? How about this? How about just why many times? And you have to understand, you see, there is suffering. There's suffering, but then there is real suffering. And Job knows suffering. You know, there's a suffering like, you know, I lost my job, and that's bad, or I had a bad grade on a test, or things aren't going too well for me. But then there's the suffering of losing a dad when he's 30 years old from a young mother that's got four kids and she's wondering what to do. See, Job knew real suffering. He had lost his whole family. He had lost all his possessions. He had lost everything. And yet, and he's asking God, why did these bad things? What did I do to deserve? Is there something I did? Why are these bad things happening to me? And it's a question we all ask all the time. But God responds to Job's question on suffering with Job 38 through 41. And we read some of that about Leviathan and Behemoth last week. But when you think about it, Job 38, 41 is the longest recorded speech from God in the Bible. Were you there at the dawn of creation? God asks, you know. Would you like to run the universe? He's asking this to Job. God takes special delight in animals with a streak of wildness that cannot be controlled. And so, Job's asking, why did all these bad things happen? And here's God's answer. And it's the same answer he gives us. Now, he devotes 10 verses to describing Behemoth, and we went over those last week. And he devotes a whole chapter, chapter 41, to describing Leviathan, a powerful creature that breathed fire and no one would want to tangle with. But God answers this question in this way. And so we're going to read some of Job 38 here, 1 there. It says, who is this who obscures my counsel with ignorant words? He's talking to Job out of a whirlwind. It says, and he said, get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. Were you there when I established the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who fixed the dimension? Certainly you know who stretched a measuring rod, measuring line across it. What supports its foundation? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Who enclosed the seas behind doors when it burst from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its blanket? When I determined its boundaries and put its bars and doors in place? When I declared, you may come this far, but no further. Your proud waves stop here. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning or assigned the dawn its place? So it may seize the edges, the earth, and shake the wicked out of it. Have you traveled to the sources of the sea or walked in the depths of the oceans? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you seen the gates of death's shadow? Have you comprehended the extent of the earth? Tell me, Job, tell me. Tell me if you know. And so Job's reply is really a great reply. In Job 42, 1 through 6, then Job replied, the Lord says, I know that you can do anything, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this who conceals my counsel with ignorance? Surely I spoke about things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. When I question you, you will inform me. I have heard rumors about you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I take back the words and repent in dust and ashes. It's a powerful response. Let me give you a short version. If you can't take on one of God's fearsome creatures, don't attempt to take on God. And how about an even shorter version that Job recommends? I'm an idiot. Join with me. Compared to God, we have no understanding or comprehensions of things in this universe. How powerful that is, a mighty God who can do that. So the question is, what kind of conversation are you going to have with the creator of the universe? You going to tell him you could have done a better job? You know? Have you lost your mind?
Well, one of the things that we like to say in creation science is that floods form fossils fast. The fact that all the fossils in the strata, we have the strata all the way up to the top of the strata. Most of the fossils, over 95% of them, are marine fossils. So the fossil record itself screams flood.
Because there should not be any soft, this is actually pliable, stretchy, elastic tissue after millions of years. There's just no way that can exist.
The scientific evidence, not only from soft tissue, but from molecular biology, from genomics, from every single area of biology is wrecking evolution.
So the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:3-7 says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget, King James Version says, willingly ignorant, I say dumb on purpose, that long ago by God's word, one, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water. And by water, creation, which is creation. That's what creation was about. He formed the earth, was formed out of water. And then number two, by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed by flood. You see what God's telling us? The world is going to deny that God created everything and that he flooded the world in judgment and to destroy the world in judgment against the sins of man. And then going on, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. God is telling us what people are going to say. And we see that in science. We see that everywhere these days. So Christian science argues this. And we haven't covered all of this, but I do in my other video. But I'd like to point these small things out, these interesting notes out. What existed prior to the Big Bang? You either believe, as most evolutionists do, that something came from nothing, which violates all the known laws of the physical universe, which states that mass can never be created, or that the universe was created by intelligent design. How about number two? Where are all the transition fossils? There should be an abundance of transition fossils, much more than regular fossils. Why don't we see any? In fact, what the fossil record instead shows is that they suddenly appeared in detailed, very powerful design, ready to function, and that it's pretty consistent, maybe small changes, and we're going to talk about that in the next video too. Also, what accounts for the presence of soft fibrous connective tissue like we just discussed? And dinosaur bones, supposedly hundreds of millions of years old. It should not be soft, but hard. And they can't explain that. Also, what accounts for the presence of measurable carbon in all fossils that are tested? No carbon should be present in fossils over 100,000 years old. And we're going to talk about that too next time. You can see below on this slide some other evidence. And the one on the left there is a very interesting, they call it the fighting dinosaurs. They have a replica of this at the Institute of Creation Science in Dallas, Texas, in Las Colinas area. You can all go over there and see this. This is a great group of scientists that are doing high-level research showing God's creation, God in his creation, and showing that, There's no evidence to show that the Earth's not 6,000 years old or so. Also, you have evidence of dinosaurs, man's footprints with dinosaur tracks at the Glen Rose State Park in south of Dallas. So you can see that. I was able to go there one time, and I like to point that out. Also, note this. Fossils are evidence of a flood, something that died quickly and was buried. There's no way, if a fossil's on top of the Earth, animals are going to come along and eat it. You don't find that. They don't hang around for long. The only way fossils exist is they're buried under a high pressure. Well, what can account for that? A flood. That's really the only way we get it. And by the way, every time you fill up your tank, you're filling up with fossil fuels. And that's something that was created during the great flood that God used to, again, judge mankind. So going on to Romans 1, 24 through 25. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. What's the lie? I don't need God. Did God really say this? That's what Satan did to Eve. Did God really say this? Does he really mean that you would die? Is that really what he mean? Just put that doubt in your heart. That's the lie. I don't need God. God's not telling me the truth. Again, in God we trust. All others should bring data. I'm ready for data, but the data that I normally get doesn't always make sense. Just from out there and about evolution and billions of years old, and we're going to talk about that next week. But give me data that makes sense, and I can look at it and say, wow, I see God in that. Now, the scientist's nightmare is this. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He's about to conquer the highest peak. And as he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. You know, that's what our scientist Mary found. She may not recognize it is, but when she found this, she can look back and go, wow, I just came up over the rock and God was there all the time. We can see it. And I want you to recognize this too. A scientific consensus, that's not science. A scientific consensus is just an opinion of scientists. It's not based upon facts or evidence. We look at this and we have an opinion. Whenever you see a scientific consensus, that's not science. That's their opinion. They have a right to have an opinion, but that's not science. So you have a choice. Assume the Bible is wrong until science proves it right, or assume the Bible is right until science proves it wrong. I'm going to go with number two. How about you? Again, it's a science I do understand, the science I can look at it that points me toward God. Not the stuff, the gobbledygook that they're trying to convince you of. It's that clear stuff, and you see that. Great resources that I'm showing you right now. Again, the Institute of Creation Research out of Dallas. These are PhD-level scientists that are doing research on origins of the universe, on fossils, all this kind of stuff that you can think of, and they do a great job. And you can sign up for a free subscription to Acts and Facts. Just go online to icr.org and you can find this, or you can view it online. Powerful stuff, doesn't take long to read. And once you read them for a period of time, you'll start getting the gist of it all, really. And I'll end this with this quote from Blaise Pascal. He says, if I believe in God and life after death, and you do not, and if there is no God, we both lose when we die. However, if there is a God, you still lose, and I gain everything. Who would take that bet? Why worship a God that can't do what he said he did, like create the world in 6 days? That seems like a waste of time to me. That's a powerful God. God, why would you worship a God that didn't really, maybe it took billions of years, although he says he did it in 6 days. I want to worship a God that can do what he said he could do. Why would you not worship a God that says a relationship with you is worth being humiliated and dying for, sending your son to die on the cross for my sin? That's a God I want to hang out with too. He says a relationship with you is worth everything in this universe, and I'll do anything to have it. All you have to do is choose it. How powerful is that? So that's what I challenge you to do, is look at this. Look at God's creation. You're going to see the power of God in it. And it will change your life. It will give you boldness in talking and sharing God and His word of truth and grace with those that you come in contact with. So here's the down link. Again, lifeword.org, Creation Science. You can get my presentations, and there's my email address. And I hope you've enjoyed it. Come back next week, and we're going to spend time talking about some detailed sciences. Some of the stories, I have some stories to tell you. Some scientists have asked about origins of the universe and about star formation and things like that. I think you'll find it interesting, and you'll find it interesting what they tell me. So, Lord bless you. Until next week, have a good one.